Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got a great show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, the law firm of Gardenberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's hottest place for chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, thank you to all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always jump on and join the discussion on Facebook. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will speak with one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardenberg and the Kimberly. No garden about it. It's Mr. Lewis Carter. He'll get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. We'll also be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He'll share how they support our veterans and give us a little insight onto a recent trip that he took. But first, an open car show is happening this weekend and organized by the Port City Corvette Club. Club President John O'Rourke has joined us on air to tell us all about it. John, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
John, it's a pleasure to have you on board here today. We have a retired Army, I believe, was it Master Sergeant or Sergeant First Sergeant or Sergeant Major? Or how many ranks did you have, brother?
I had several, but the latest was Sergeant Major.
All right. Hey, you can't get any higher than that unless you're going to go to Warrant Officer.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your service, and we appreciate what you continue to do, working with this car show and also working with our vets. And actually, one of the companies that you're working with here to make some money for at the car show is the Wounded Warriors of Alabama and St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Man, that's just a pleasure. Give us a little insight about what's really going on, where your location's at.
Okay. This is our 15th annual open car show. It will be held at the Government Street Baptist Church right off I-65 at Exit 1. And we're starting at about 7 a.m. and going to about 2:30. And this is an open show for all types of vehicles, cars especially, those antiques, those classics, Jeeps, rat rods, newer cars. We welcome all of them. We're going to have judging. We'll have trophies awarded at the end of the day. We've got door prizes. We've got goodie bags. It's a family event. We have bounce houses for the children. We've got food trucks, DJ music. We have some things especially for veterans also.
Man, it's awesome to see you guys do that. I had a chance to talk with David Rogers yesterday. We met at the barbershop, and he was talking about what events you're going to have over there. And I've had the pleasure of being able to be there and see those shows that you've had there. And y'all doing an unbelievable job. And the location at the Government Street Baptist Church there on Government Boulevard and I-65 is just awesome.
It really is. And Pastor Scotty there has welcomed us with open arms and his staff. And it's just ideal for us. And we can accommodate a lot of cars, and we hope and expect to see lots of cars this weekend.
Now, I understand you're going to have some representatives there from the Wounded Warrior of Alabama organization. I didn't know they had that split into states as such.
I didn't at first, and learned that a few years ago, Tom, and Mr. Bill Williams, who is the CEO of Wounded Warrior Alabama, will be there, and some other representatives, and we'll be able to meet with him, and we will present them with a check as a donation for their part and as part of the closing ceremonies. So we're looking forward to having them there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. We do these car shows, especially guys that's pertaining to our veterans. Well, number one, we love the car shows, but then we have found that we can generate some revenue for some of our veterans organizations by having these shows, and that's one of the reasons that I have the car show at the Battleship in September, which I think September the 12th this year. Is our veterans mm-hmm. have been veterans, and we make some donations there as well. And it's nice to see a lot of the car shows doing this now and stepping up and making these donations to our veterans organizations, because it appears that if we want something done for a veteran, the veteran has to do it.
Well, in some cases that's true, and we certainly welcome all the veterans who will be registering cars. Many of our members are veterans themselves. And we will have the Marine Corps League, element of the Marine Corps League there helping out during the day, starting off with a flag raising. We will have Quilts of Valor. Ms. Joyce Reed will be there to present one or more quilts to very deserving veterans. And it's a family affair, so we hope to have as many vets and recognize them as we can.
Well, it's just an awesome venue, as I say, and it's local. It's right in the middle of town. It has very, very easy access by Government Street and running in even from Cottage Hill, Highway 90 area there, and off of the Interstate 65. You drop off on that last exit if you're coming in from the north side of the Mobile area. So. Then you're going to drop off at the dead end of 65, right at the church. But awesome venue.
Well, good. It's worked out great for us. This is our third year there.
Do you have much participation by the Jeep owners?
We have some. It's a bit limited, and we would like to expand that, Tom. And we try to get word out as best we can. And so some Jeeps show up, but we'd like to see a lot more.
All right. Okay. Well, you had a good presentation on Channel 10 this morning. I have a chance to see you and the pastor there on your presentation on Channel 10. So that was a good event for you. Y'all did a good job.
Well, thank you.
It's neat to see a church make their parking area and their facilities, restrooms and things available for such an awesome event.
Yeah, we're glad to work with them.
Well, I tell you what, man, it's just been a real pleasure to be able to have you guys on and help promote your show. I know it's outstanding. I've been, as I say, I've been there before. I was there last year, And you have great participation. You know, you got a bunch of the guys even coming over from Baldwin County.
And further as well, Florida, sure. Yeah. Some distant states too.
All right. Bless you, brother.
Thank you very much, Tom and Cal. We appreciate what y'all do.
All right, guys. We appreciate you guys doing that and working with our veterans because, as I say, if we're going to get it done, we have to do it. So,
Yes, sir.
Thanks. All right. Have a good one, buddy. Appreciate you being on board.
You too. Y'all take care.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And we will continue our conversation here in just a little while. We've got Brother Bill Clark is going to be on here with us, and he's got some exciting news. But, you know, and as always, you can visit on the Scuttlebutt Network for more information. And as we said, Brother Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens will be on board when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, you can always catch our regularly aired programs on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm if you want to get your blood pressure going. And it's always a pleasure to be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for your service to our veterans and their families.
Well, thank you, Cal. It is always good seeing you guys. We're kindred spirits, I tell you.
I tell you what, this is an awesome gentleman. We have with the Marine Corps League that I'm a commandant of on a local detachment here, P.O. Wilson, we have occasion to perform honor guards for some of our Marine veterans and all down there. And his organization is just jam up. They do an unbelievable job. He comes from a veteran's family. He's brought a picture in here now that I think you had the occasion to go over to Hawaii, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you have your picture here of your dad was in Shanghai in 1944, and it looks like he's a chief petty officer.
He is. He was, yes.
Man, and so you are a vet's family, brother.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us about what you found over in Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii was very nice. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. My wife, I'd been there before. Goodness gracious, I was a kid then. Pearl Harbor really moved me, because of the history of my dad being there. My wife had never been, and so it was an honor to take her out there, and I tell you, it's a humbling experience to see that area, and you just can only imagine the terror that day of December the 7th.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how those that survived it didn't have just constant nightmares.
Right, and they probably did.
I'm sure.
They probably did. But there was a lot of ships destroyed over there that day.
It was. I think there was about 20 ships that were destroyed. It was just chaos.
It was devastating in that harbor. The Japanese not only hit our ships there, but they devastated a lot of our planes that was on the ground.
They wiped out about 300 planes.
300 planes.
On the ground. Woo! Yeah.
In a matter of hours. So.
Yeah, a couple of hours. It was
unbelievable.
Over. Yeah.
And we lost, 2,000 or 3,000 people there that day? Well, that's 2,000 on the ship.
Yeah, we lost about 2,400 casualties and 1,000 injured, severely injured. And it was a day, as they say, that will live in infamy.
It will. It will. And, but we certainly hope that never occurs again. And I think our country will do everything in their power to keep that from occurring again. But were they able to salvage any of the ships? Anything that you saw in the history there after the attack?
It's interesting. As much devastation that was done that day, there were only two ships that were totally lost.
Really?
The Arizona and the Utah. The others were able to be salvaged and repaired.
Unbelievable.
And put back at sea.
It's, unbelievable.
I don't know how they did it. I mean, the equipment back then, you just wonder how in the world were they able to do that. But never underestimate American ingenuity.
That is so true. Yeah, so true. But they got that port back into working conditions. We had the birthday for Bruce Pop Jones' 100-year-old birthday this past Sunday. And Pop would have been at Iwo Jima. Well, his ship was supposed to be there, but they were in Pearl Harbor trying to unload some products that was misloaded in Seattle when they left. Otherwise, he would have been involved with that, but then he did wind up going into Okinawa.
You know what I found interesting is that at that time, there were no aircraft carriers there. They were at Midway and
they were at sea.
He had other areas because at that time they realized that that is the true fighting ship is the aircraft carriers.
Right.
And thankfully, they were not there in port. When that attack happened.
That is awesome. That is awesome. But now again, did you get a chance to go on the memorial in Arizona?
Oh, yes. Yes. You can't go to Pearl Harbor without visiting the Arizona Memorial. It takes my breath away.
Well, they tell me that there's still an oil slick coming up from there.
It sure is. It sure is. You can still see a slick coming up. And it's pretty eerie, especially when you realize there's still 900 of those guys that's entombed in that ship from the attack. They never made it out.
Was it? But there were 900?
900.
Ooh, unbelievable.
And you know, they still will, those that were on the Arizona, when they passed away, if they were cremated, they have permission to send divers down to take that urn and inurn that urn inside the ship.
Really?
With their seamates.
They could be interned back with their mates.
Yes, yes. There are, I believe, 44 that are inurned there.
Mercy. That's a new phase of it that I hadn't been informed of or familiar with, the fact that all of those guys that did get out and were able to, you know, live their life in whatever condition it may have been in, are able to go back and live with their brothers.
Yeah. Whoa. And, you know, I read recently there are 12 Pearl Harbor survivors living.
Still living.
Still living.
Man.
And none of them were able to make it to the anniversary December the 7th this past year. They're just too old and fragile.
They're just too old and fragile. Yeah. Well, aren't we all? I can fall into that category. You know, old and fragile, yeah. But, you know, that, being aboard that and going aboard the Arizona Memorial, that the atmosphere of that just had to be unbelievable.
You know, it is so reverent there, and I'm glad to see people honor the sanctity of that memorial. You can almost hear a pin drop. People whisper. You don't see anyone being loud or obnoxious.
They just normally give their respect.
Absolutely.
Considered, I mean, where they're at.
They know they're truly on hallowed ground. Yeah. And it's refreshing, especially this day and time when we have idiots that protest our military and protest this country.
You can't fix stupid.
No, you can't. You can't fix stupid, but you can sure elect it.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah, you can elect it. We've had several of those.
We saw a lot of that last night at the State of the Union address.
Well, yes, and a lot of those were elected. Yes.
Yeah.
Most of them. But anyway, that's another day, another dollar. But that had to be an awesome trip over there, and all. And the fact that you had been there before when you was a child, and then now you've gone back,
yeah,
knowing that your dad was there. I guess he was there in 43, 44.
He was on a submarine that day, December the 7th. And of course, you know, obviously, you can't fight in the harbor with a submarine.
No,
so all they could do was dive down and get out. And you know, he told my mom that, you know, that was pretty tough on them leaving their other fellow sailors behind. But, you know, you were ordered to save the ship, and that's
right,
all you can do.
So he was actually there.
He was there, absolutely.
And he was under. He went through that attack.
Absolutely, sure
and
did.
And he came back to live and tell about it, and then was able to tell your kids about it. Huh?
Well, we lost him when I was just a baby.
Oh,
I was
really?
7 months old. He was a good bit older than my mom, and I was just 7 months old. But he told my mom. He said anybody there that day that said they weren't scared
right.
was a damn liar.
Damn
he
liar.
Said everybody panicked.
Well, hell, you had to, man.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
didn't know.
It's human. Yeah. Human reaction.
Yes, and then all that air attack and all the bullets flying around there.
Yeah.
You know, some of the shows that we've seen, the movies that have been made from that are, ooh, I mean, they give you cold chills just thinking about it, you mm-hmm. know. But then you see some of the guys, and like in the movies, they're, I mean, they jumped out and got out of their racks and went to their planes and got on their planes. Some of them even actually got in the air.
Got in the air, yeah.
Yeah, and was able, you know, to fight some. And then they also got shot up as well.
Yep, sure did.
Well, that's all being said, we appreciate you bringing that to our attention tonight. And I know it was an awesome venue for you. But we still like to thank you and all of your organization that's been at the funeral home for all that y'all do. For our vets and anybody else that have to have the services. Y'all are doing an unbelievable job. Everything's updated. You've got a new facilities, and it's just really neat.
Well, it's heartfelt. You know, all of our guys, our ladies that work for us, veterans are very special to them as well.
Good.
You know, it's many of us have kind of skin in the game, as they might
I
say.
I believe we have.
Know, because I believe I've shared this with you before. Not only was my dad at Pearl Harbor December the 7th, but we lost my oldest brother in Vietnam in 68.
Oh, Lord.
And people don't understand that America is the land of the free because of the brave.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes. Thank you so much. God bless you.
My pleasure.
Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Homes Gardens. And as always, you could go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Lewis Carter from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. When we return on the Scuttlebutt.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, and Daphne's newest eatery, the Waterfront Restaurant. At number one, Yacht Club Drive. That's straight across the street from the college over there, Sports College. So there's no problem to find it. And Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
Yep. And the Charlie Wilson Agency.
Yes, I'll go along with that.
There you go. Hey, and it is always a privilege to be joined on SBN by one of our C lawyers. From the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Mr. Lewis Carter. Lewis, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Well, thank you for having me.
Lewis, it's a pleasure having you on board today. What is the CHAMP V8? What is that? Give us a little insight on that.
Of course. CHAMP VA is basically medical coverage for veterans' spouses, in some cases caregivers, dependents. And it's medical treatment basically outside, well, sometimes through the VA. It allows these individuals to be taken care of.
Well, you know, now, I understand that there's been a lot of delay in being able to receive this benefit. What have they done to maybe correct that?
Yes, unfortunately, beginning of last year, I believe, they served roughly 900,000 people. They had roughly 70,000 applications still outstanding. Some of these had been outstanding for over 150 days. However, thanks to a lot of hard work, overtime, and some adjustments to the way they handle these claims, they were able to take care of the backlog. Now, if a veteran's spouse or dependent needs medical care, instead of having to wait some cases for months to see if they qualify and how much it would cost, they can find out right off the bat, sometimes during intake, so they don't get caught with a surprise bill months down the road or
right.
Wait for months and then find out they've been denied.
Now, it's understood that those numbers also translate into some fewer gaps in the medications.
Yes. Sometimes, well, before, if you needed refills of certain medications, you had to get approval, you could find yourself unable to get those medications or having to pay out of pocket for sometimes an extended period of time. Now, thanks to the work with your VA, you can actually get that taken care of much, much quicker.
Right, yeah. Well, now, with the changes in this in these veterans' households is so unpredictable. When their eligibility is confirmed quickly, families can have a better chance of moving forward?
Yes, it's a lot easier to make financial decisions and decisions regarding treatment when you can get a prompt answer instead of having to you cross your fingers and wait.
Okay. Now, they say that... the department said that they complete a shift to be more automated system even in December?
I believe they started that system sometime in 2025. It's one of the reasons why they were able to get caught up.
Okay.
But a lot of these applications, a lot of the process is just basic paperwork.
Okay.
And getting it reviewed and put into the system. And that is something that an automated system can handle pretty effectively.
Well, they're talking about more than 90% of them can be handled and processed electronically.
Yes. That is kind of speed up pretty much all aspects of the VA if they're integrating additional automation across their entire system. Vets and their families are going to be able to expect much quicker service.
When we're talking about the vets and their families, are we talking about retired veterans? Not every veteran family qualifies for that, do they?
It depends. You can contact the VA, and they'll be able to tell you if you qualify. But if you are a vet, or in some cases, active duty vets, their spouses. Coverage, I believe, is provided by TRICARE.
Right.
But if you're a retired vet and you're eligible, you can get your family and your dependents taken care of.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, there's another thing that's cropped up here recently, too, is you've had about a year to request a VA overpayment waiver. Now, what does that entail? What are we talking about there?
Well, unfortunately, for various reasons, the VA or... Well, usually the VA or an error in paperwork or something, a veteran will end up being overpaid. And before, a vet could contact the VA and ask for a waiver. And then they'd have to provide why they needed a waiver. Usually financial hardship, this gets equity good conscience to require them to pay it. And they had 180 days to do this, which sounds like a long time, but at the rate the VA works, and the veteran happens oftentimes to get records, payment information, and so on, they would find themselves missing this deadline. The new change, though, is moving that deadline out to a year, which means that veterans aren't going to have to worry quite as much about missing the opportunity to get an outstanding debt waiver.
Okay. So now they've moved that to 1 year framework?
Yes, now it's 1 year.
Awesome. Now, is this something the veterans would have to be handling with the VA? This is not something they'd be handling through a law office, right?
Now, they could have a law office, especially if there's dealing with a situation where the amount owed is disputed, in which case they should definitely try to get some sort of representation or veterans advocate and get the amount set. But once the amount is set, a lot of times they can handle this by themselves.
Right.
However, if they're having to fill out the paperwork or the VA is just not willing to cooperate for whatever reason, getting representation at that stage is probably a good idea too.
Right. Well, that's something. If they maybe started with an attorney and you handled the cases to get their disability benefits and all, and then as well as while they were working with the VA, it would y'all would probably have more knowledgeable of some of the things that need to be done in the time limits that were critical.
Yes, that's definitely true. Knowing what's going on when you start and having all that information on hand definitely helps. And the VA doesn't always want to wait. Well, actually, I guess most of the time they don't want to wait to death. But in cases where they make a mistake or there's some other error on the VA side,
they don't make errors. Just ask some of our vets. The VA doesn't make errors. But I like to get thrown out of the building one day, bringing that to their attention. But anyway,
In cases like that, you do need an attorney or right. Somebody else who's skilled in operating within the system.
Well, I've found, Lewis, that anything that we're doing as veterans that relates to either the disability phase and or the VA benefits phase, everything has got a time limit on it, and everything has a special form, and it has to be filled out perfectly, or otherwise it will be denied and sent back, and then it just delays it, that process again, to have to start all over and do it again, even though you won't lose your date on there if it's properly notarized or and recorded. But there's just so many ramifications and federal bureaucracy that's involved. It really behooves some of us guys to come to an attorney like yourselves in Gardberg and Kimberly.
Yes, it definitely does. And not only do you have to have exactly the correct form, but periodically the VA will update those forms. And it's not uncommon for that not to get out to vets or even advocates. So you might send in the right form, but you send in the 2015 version versus the 2018 version.
Right, right.
Therefore, it's the wrong form, and you got to do it all over again.
So if you do receive a VA debt letter, then it is a very time-sensitive event, so you really need to make sure that that's properly handled, right?
Yes, you want to jump on that as soon as possible, because a year sounds like a long time, but when you're dealing with the VA and all the bureaucracy, sometimes it's not enough.
Right. It's unbelievable. All right, well, we're going to be able to carry you over to the next segment here, so we've got some other areas like the Gulf War toxins that we want to talk about and some VA medication rating rules that we want to talk about. So when we'll be returning here shortly with Attorney Lewis Carter. Everybody stand by. We'll get more on the Scuttlebutt.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. do the other, and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we are speaking with Mr. Lewis Carter from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerling.
Lewis, glad to have you on board with us here. We'll continue with this. You have some new information or additional information about the Gulf War toxin exposures that have to do with our female veterans. How does that? What do you have with that?
Well, they've been doing studies, and they've discovered there's unfortunately yet more medical issues connected to these exposures. So anybody who served out in the Middle East during any of the Gulf Wars, they were exposed to burn pits, environmental toxins, all sorts of stuff. And this manifests for a lot of them in what we call Gulf War illness, which has all sorts of unexplained aches, pains, immune issues, all sorts of stuff. And unfortunately, they recently added early onset menopause to that. So our female veterans are having to deal with that as well as the other more well-known issues related to the Gulf War.
So this has been a recognized phase now for the female veterans that were there that have had some major menstrual or hormonal changes, that have to do with the burn pits and the other exposure areas that they were exposed to over there during that period of time. This is in addition to the previous recognized areas, right?
Yes. Currently, this is not a presumptive condition yet, and the VA is the very beginning of acknowledging it. But this is something that female vets should be aware of. They should ask their doctor about, get tested, document any symptoms they have, so that way they can file a claim. Because even now, while it's not yet presumptive, and may never be, unfortunately, it is still something they can file a claim for and get service connected.
Well, great. Okay, well, I'm glad to see that. There's open to... with this opening up on the female veterans, did we see any new events that cropped up for our male veterans from this period of time? I know they don't have menstrual periods, but I mean, did they get any other maybe recognized diseases that they might have incurred there?
Unfortunately, there are more issues for male veterans cropping up as well. The VA is actually in the process of examining some new conditions which they might be adding to the presumptive list. I believe it's some additional respiratory stuff, cancers, that kind of thing.
Right. But the Gulf War wasn't the type of war that we fought in World War II or World War I-II in Nam and Korea and in the Pacific and all, but they still have a lot of injuries and a lot of medical injuries, and it's surprising the amount of PTSD claims and the TBI claims that we had from over there.
Yes. Well, before we didn't have the ability to combine all this information together. Now that vets go to VA and they can track their medical conditions on a meta level, they're able to see how often veterans are experiencing these conditions and realizing it's not an individual problem, but it's service wide.
It's service wide, isn't it, buddy? Yeah. And I guess y'all are seeing some of these with your disability claims filing as well, a lot of this.
Yes. Certain claims are, unfortunately, mental health stuff is becoming more and more common. Our vets went through all sorts of terrible things over there. And sometimes it might take years for a condition to manifest, or they might unfortunately have to go through another traumatic event later on in life, which can trigger their PTSD.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of our vets weren't diagnosed, whether it be male or female. They weren't diagnosed prior to discharged from active service. You know, veterans, once we sign that contract, you know, we're veterans for life. And then there's only a certain part of a period of that time that we serve actively and wear the uniform, but we're still veterans, and we still have the exposures, and that stuff will still creep up on us and bother us at a later date. And a lot of our guys would say, well, you know, I didn't have that when I was in service. But, well, yeah, you know, you wasn't that way when you went in there, buddy. You know, come on. And they have a tendency not to accept that. So that's one of the things that I try to promote is, did you have that when you went in service? Did you have that when you went in the Army? Hell no, they didn't have it, you know. A lot of times they don't want to file for it, but they've earned the disability from the exposure to that. And you guys at the law office are seeing unbelievable cases of that stuff that's coming aboard now, aren't you?
Yes, unfortunately. It seems like every couple of months they figure out something new. A lot of these conditions, like the cancers, for example, that's not something you're going to see for sometimes a decade after you've separated from the military.
Right.
And a lot of vets might not put some two and two together. They develop this odd cancer that doesn't run in their family. The first thing they think isn't, you know, I was exposed to toxic metals 20 years ago in Iraq.
Right.
And unfortunately, they need to talk to an attorney and a medical expert, a doctor, or somebody like that, to see if they are entitled to compensation. Because, like you said, they did earn it.
Right.
It's not a freebie.
Right.
They did their time, and they suffer as a result of it. They're entitled to these benefits.
Well, you know, that hasn't been promoted as much as, let's say, the asbestosis events where our guys were working in the plants and were actually on the ships exposed to all of that asbestos. And they're talking about, well, you know, the little fibers get together in your lungs and stick in your lungs and all. And that's what causes the asbestosis. The same thing happened to our guys when they, especially in the Gulf War, with all of the sand we had over there, and then all of the new technology and the new equipment that we had was just casually burned and put in these pits, and they had all of these chemicals and all these minerals that was there that were floating in the air, and we were breathing it just like we would have if we'd have been working around asbestos. So, in essence, it's the same thing. It's just being impregnated by a different foreign mineral in our body.
There's these carcinogens, you know, in a computer aren't really a problem, but if you light it on fire and you breathe it in, that's
right.
Going to take a little while to show up, but that's kind of hurting the lung.
I don't think we had that in World War I and World War II. You know what I mean? So, it's just... It's a lot of that stuff going on. Another area that we need to talk about a little bit is our VA medication rating rule. And there's some controversy there in our veterans community. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is actually going to be very significant for vets. The CAVC recently made a decision on a case called Ingram and Collins, where CAVC determined that the VA couldn't reduce somebody's rating for certain musculoskeletal conditions based on the effects of medication. Now, this could potentially mean that the VA would be required to pay more. Because, for example, if you had a severe back injury, but you took meds and you were a little more, you had a slightly better range of motion, as a result of taking those meds, you get less compensation. The VA responded to this by passing a new rule, which would change the way that they graded stuff when you took medication into effect. So it would kind of reverse the court case. Now, they did this in a way where they could put the rule out effective immediately, instead of allowing people to comment on it and get feedback before putting it into effect. There was a lot of pushback on this because people saw it as a way the VA was trying to reduce evaluations based on the beneficial effects of medication. However, luckily, due to the backlash, veterans representatives, vets, and their families pushing back so hard so quickly, they've actually halted putting that rule into effect. So for the short term, you're not going to have to worry about your evaluations being reduced just because you're taking medication. Now, long term, it's going to be hard to say how this is going to pan out, but hopefully all the pushback will result in them not making this change.
All right. Well, we are very appreciative of you being on board with us here tonight and bringing some of that to our attention and getting it out to our veterans out there that are listening and maybe to their family that can relate it to the veterans. How can they get in touch with Gardberg and Kimberly?
We can be reached at 251-343-1111, or you can find us on our website online. We're happy to talk to you, do a consultation, no charge, and just find out what we can do for you and what benefits you are entitled to.
All right, brother. We really appreciate it having you on board tonight and bringing all that to our attention there. God bless you, and thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for taking care of our veterans.
Well, no trouble. Thank you for having me, and it was good to be here.
Thank you, sir. And that completes our Scuttlebutt Network radio show here tonight. And remember, hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!